A butterfly has no respect for boundary lines, not like the ones that define Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. These federal lands were put under special protection 16 years ago to protect butterflies and a very long list of other species that only meet at the crossroads of the Klamath, Siskiyou, and Cascade mountain ranges. Now there's a proposal afloat to more than double the monument's size, extending those protections and the prohibitions on land use. Today, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley and a top official in the Interior Department take public comments in Ashland. Details on that event are coming up. Right now, we hear for the case in favor of expanding the monument. Jack E. Williams is a senior scientist with Trout Unlimited. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Thanks, Emily. It's great to be here.
And Evan Frost is also with us. Evan is an ecologist with Wildwood Consulting. Evan, glad you could make it.
Thanks, Emily. Good to be here.
So, Evan, could you tell us what makes this particular hunk of Oregon and California so unique?
Yeah, what is so amazing about this place is that it is a biological crossroads. So we have many species and communities from across the Pacific Northwest and California that all converge in this relatively small landscape. And so we have things living together here, plants and animals that are found nowhere else. And so we have a great diversity of species and a very unique landscape as a result.
And Jack Williams from Trout Unlimited, how does a national monument differ from other kinds of federal land we might be more familiar with, such as national forests or national parks?
Sure. Well, the national monuments are managed, in this case, by the Bureau of Land Management, so the management is not proposed to change. Typically, national monuments are a little bit more restrictive in terms of things like off-road vehicle use, perhaps timber harvest and those sort of things, but the lands are still open to recreation. They're still open to hunting and fishing, and so those resources are managed by, in this case, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, like elsewhere in the state.
What about livestock grazing?
Livestock grazing is an issue. In the original monument designation, that was something that was studied, and basically most of the allotments were bought out, so livestock grazing was eliminated from most of the existing monument. I'm not sure exactly how that'll be handled in an extension, if there is one, but we'll see.
We're talking with Jack Williams from Trout Unlimited. Evan Frost is also in the studio discussing the case for expanding Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. The monument currently stands at about 52,000 acres, stops cold at the California state line. I believe it's all on the Oregon side. Could you tell us, Evan, what are the priority areas that you're proposing or that there is a proposal to add to this federal land designation?
Yeah, well, Emily, in California, immediately south of the boundary, there is an area that's called the Horseshoe Ranch Wildlife Area, and it's co-managed by the BLM and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and it's already managed in a custodial fashion for the protection of wildlife and for the natural values that are out there. So it's already being managed in a way that's totally consistent with the monument. So that area is the primary area in California that would be added. In Oregon, we're talking about BLM lands that basically stretch from the Grizzly Peak area just east of Ashland, including the lands that stretch south to the existing boundary of the monument. And then some lands that are east of the monument over towards Surveyor Mountain, which is a big promontory on BLM land to the east.
And so this is a sizable proposition here, 59,000 acres. Why weren't these areas included originally, Jack Williams?
You know, I'm not sure why they weren't included initially. You know, I don't think we knew, for example, climate change. I'm not sure we understood in 1990 or 2000, rather, excuse me, when the monument was designated, the extent of the problems that climate change were likely to cause. Reduced snowpack, warmer temperatures, less stream flow. You know, Trout Unlimited's were very concerned about Jenny Creek, which was only partially included in the original monument boundary. Mm-hmm. So I think there's been a lot of new information that's come forward that kind of makes us think from a scientific standpoint that, you know, those original boundaries just weren't adequate, and I just don't think we knew that at the time.
If you're just joining us, Jack Williams speaking there from Trout Unlimited in favor of expanding Siskiyou National Monument. There is a public meeting today hosted by Senator Jeff Merkley with Mike Connor from the Deputy Secretary of the Interior, also in attendance. That's going to be in Ashland at 2 p.m. today. You guys are expecting a big turnout. If you'd like to join this conversation now with your comments, you can do that at 800-838-3760 or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Evan Frost, you're an ecologist, and Jack just brought up climate change and how our understanding of that has certainly progressed and evolved over the last 16 years since the monument was designated. In what ways are you seeing the effects of climate change at Cascade Siskiyou National Monument as it stands and in the outlying areas that are proposed for addition?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the changes that are occurring are not necessarily apparent to the naked eye in real time. But like, for example, monitoring data is showing that like plants are coming up and flowering earlier in the year as a result of the warmer springs that we're having. We're seeing, streams have less water in them later in the summer because the dry season has been longer. We're seeing a lot less snowpack, as Jack mentioned, so that leads to less opportunities for discharge of that water later in the year. So these are like broad scale, but very important changes that are happening on the ecosystem level that affect pretty much all the plants and animals that are up there.
And in terms of prioritizing areas for addition to the monument, either one of you that wants to take a swing at this, what are the most compelling arguments in terms of conservation for doing this?
Well, I'll start out and let Evan add on. All of the areas are important that we're talking about, and they're important for different reasons. Some of them, I think, are have more importance from a biological or botanical standpoint. Some of the lands to the northwest of the existing monument, I think, have some very rich botanical resources and are very important from that standpoint. From Trout Unlimited standpoint, we're very concerned about some of the lands to the northeast, some of the areas at Surveyor Mountain that Evan talked about. These are higher elevation areas, some headwater tributaries of Jenny Creek that has a very interesting native form of red-band trout that we're concerned about. So we think that that would be very important additions for the monument. And then into California with one of the major features down there at the falls along Jenny Creek, just below the border, that's really been the isolating mechanism for the fishes in Jenny Creek. So inclusion of that falls would be very important.
And Evan, I've heard the point made by scientists that the original designation wasn't, the boundary lines weren't drawn according to watershed dynamics and how the landscape actually moves around. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, well, the original boundaries of the monument were drawn according to pre-existing administrative lines. So the California-Oregon state line, for example, and a lot of the area in Oregon was already established for a particular purpose under the Northwest Forest Plan. So they just basically used those existing administrative boundaries to create the monument. So the dilemma is that if we're thinking ecologically, we would consider a lot of other criteria that would really safeguard those resources in a much more effective manner.
And can you make the case for expansion in terms that are not ecologic, in, say, economic terms, or some of the arguments that we're likely to hear from opponents of expanding the monument, which we will invite on the program at a later date?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would point out that the proposal for a monument expansion has been endorsed by both Chambers of Commerce and Talent and Ashland, by the city councils in both those municipalities and the mayors. So I believe these communities are seeing that this creates a quality of life and a potential element of the economic fabric of the valley here.
Mm-hmm. Anything to add there, Jack?
No, I think that's an excellent point. From a kind of outdoor recreation standpoint, these are great lands. Having them in good condition and biologically diverse just means that there's great opportunities to hunt and fish and hike and camp. And I think that's an attraction. Those are things that we value in this part of the region.
We're talking about the case in favor of expanding Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. There's quite a meeting planned today, 2 to 5:30 p.m. at Southern Oregon University, hosted by Senator Jeff Merkley with a senior official from the Department of the Interior in attendance to hear people's comments, concerns, input about this proposal to turn a monument that's currently at about 52,000 acres to add additional 59,000 acres. Jack, could you speak to the format in store for today? Looks like you've got 3.5 hours set aside. Are you expecting quite a few voices to turn up?
You know, we're expecting a big turnout. So we'll see how that goes. There's going to be an opportunity for people to speak. It'll probably be just a minute or two, but we expect lots of people there, and we expect lots of people that will want to express their opinions. There'll also be a couple of introductory presentations, and we'll hear from local public officials. So I think it'll be a busy event. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. And what's the protocol, I guess, for speaking at that event? Have people already signed up if they want to, or should they arrive before 2 p.m. if they'd like to do that?
I think the best advice I would have, certainly for people that want to speak, would be to get there early. So if you can get there by 1 o'clock or shortly thereafter, I think that's a good plan. And I believe you can sign up right at the meeting as you come in.
Let's go to a call here. We've got someone who wants to weigh in right now on the Jefferson Exchange. Jean in Ashland, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you both for going on the air today. I think it's so important to hear the scientist's perspective. And I just want to congratulate you guys for your work and encourage everyone to come out to the meeting today. It's a huge step for Southern Oregon. I think that it's once in a lifetime, and anyone that supports biodiversity, climate resiliency, and really the future of our social networks around the community should turn out. I think there's economic arguments in favor and also, of course, biological arguments. But one thing that I've been talking to a friend recently about is just the enhanced quality of life for us here in the Rogue Valley. It's a place where hundreds of students go every year to learn and fall in love with their public lands, fall in love with the forest. It's something that will make people want to stay here. I think it instills a lot of pride for the beauty and the biological values of our region.
All right, Jean, thanks for those comments. We have another question here from Mike in Medford. He wants to know, what is the impact of I-5 on the monument? Are there any plans for wildlife overpasses or tunnels to reconnect ecosystems in the monument? Good luck with expansion. From Mike in Medford.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. And you know, certainly one of the great contributions that the monument plays is as this crossroads or intersection point between the Siskiyous and the Cascades to the east. And I-5 does act as a barrier for various forms of wildlife. Some animals can get across, but they risk higher levels of mortality. And, ultimately, it would be ideal if there could be some crossings created such that we could facilitate that movement in the future. Something that people are thinking about, but it's a long ways off. But certainly protecting the habitat that's there now would be a huge step forward towards allowing that to continue.
All right, that's Evan Frost from Wildwood Consulting, an ecologist, one of many scientists in favor of expanding Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. This conversation is taking place just a few hours in advance of a public meeting here at Southern Oregon University in Stevenson Union. That begins at 2 p.m., though folks who want a seat are advised to get there early. Senator Jeff Merkley will be in attendance with Mike Connor from the Secretary of the Interior's office. One last question here before we bow out. What are the next steps? This meeting, we're leading up to perhaps another presidential proclamation. Monuments are not designated by a popular vote or, I guess the will of the people. Are you concerned about pushback in that way?
You know, I think the president does have an opportunity before he leaves office to expand the monument boundaries. We're very excited about that opportunity. He's been designating national monuments periodically throughout his term, so we're hopeful on that front.
All righty. We've been speaking with Jack Williams, a senior scientist with Trout Unlimited. Thanks for being here, Jack.
Thank you.
And Evan Frost, an ecologist with Wildwood Consulting. Thank you, Evan.
Thanks, Emily.